pause.
And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod. Rick Maxa is not here today. He is on his way to Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska for our annual Father's Day special Kingfisher Charters trip. He's going to have a great time up there. Probably catch a lot of fish, too. Hey, we have a speaking of fish. We have the scientific fisherman in the studio, Dr. Larry Allen. It's been a while since we've had him, so we're going to learn a lot today. You stay tuned. Southern California's sport fishing voice is Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
The new Shimano Torium HG is here, and you'll be able to experience this fantastic reel now at your local Shimano dealer. The new Torium is up to 30% smaller than the previous generation, but still has the same line capacity. The smaller S-compact body design and one-piece die-cast aluminum frame provides more rigidity and lighter weight. Torium now has EI surface treatment and is tested up to 700 times the corrosion resistance of past models. The new Shimano Torium HG is not only better on the outside, the inside is amazing, with a cross-carbon drag providing up to 24 pounds of drag pressure from a star drag reel. It has a sealed roller clutch and 6.2 to 1 brass gears. The machined aluminum handle has a larger knob to make it easy to crank in the big fish. The new lightweight aluminum spool gives you better casting and control. Available in three sizes, the Torium HG is the next evolution in compact, rigid, and powerful saltwater star drag reels. Get it now at your local Shimano dealers. Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
My Angler H2O. I will never use that fakey fluorescent pink bait or drag my hula popper through the mud. I will outmaneuver drought-exposed stumps, rocks, and submerged station wagons. And outsmart the ravenous river otter. I will save water by taking shorter showers for higher lakes. And I will always, always wear my life jacket.
What's your H2O? Tell us at VoteCalifornia.com. The California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways reminds you to wear it, California.
Summer has finally arrived, bringing warmer waters our way. And you know what that means. The offshore fishing this season could be one of the best ever. And speaking of best ever, have you seen the new 2015 Ford F-150? It's the most advanced F-150 ever. Which is even more good news for fishermen. One of my favorite features is the available 360-degree camera. It lets you see everything around you, which really comes in handy when you're trying to launch on a crowded dock. It's also the first truck ever to be built with military-grade aluminum alloy. That means the new F-150 is up to 700 pounds lighter to accelerate faster and stop quicker. It also hauls more and tows more. And get this, it does it all more fuel efficiently. I highly recommend taking one out for a test drive. The new F-150 is the best thing to happen to fishermen in San Diego since the barbed hook. So stop by your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here. As I said, Rock Cod Rick Max is on his way to Sitka, Alaska for our Kingfisher Charters trip. It's going to be a great trip, and I know there's going to be a lot of happy, happy anglers going up there because king salmon fishing has been good, and they're going to catch a lot of big halibut and rockfish and all kinds of good stuff. So be anxious to hear the reports next weekend from Rick. Hey, we have a great guest in the studio. It's been a while, our good buddy Dr. Larry Allen. We call him the scientific fisherman. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Pete. Hey, nice to be back.
Great to have you back. And, man, you have been a busy guy. Of course, you're still the big guy up at Cal State Northridge, right?
I'm the chairman of the Department of Biology, so I got 40 faculty that I have to ride herd on.
It's my like, goodness.
You know, herding cats is what I call it.
How big is Cal State Northridge now?
It's the biggest CSU. We got about 40,000 students.
40,000 students.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Big campus, and we've been growing, so.
Yeah. And biology is a big department, and especially you kind of do a lot in the fisheries world.
Well, yeah, we actually have a really strong marine biology program at Northridge, and I have been working on, you know, sport fish, you know, for a long time there. I decided I spent a lot of time dragging nets in my early years, you know, for fish, and then I decided I just wanted to start catching them on rod and reel again. So but for about the last 25 years, we've been working on the sport fish that everybody likes to catch here in the coastal waters.
And the cool thing about you is that you are a fisherman. You were showing me pictures of big trout from Pyramid and about catching offshore species and inshore species and everything,
yeah,
right?
I've pretty much caught them all. Yeah, my dad and grandfather started me at 5 and been on the ocean pretty much ever since. The reason I basically became a marine biologist and a fish specialist.
So let me ask you this. I mean, there seems to be a lot of people kind of going into the anti-fishing world and then coinciding in the scientific world about anti-fishing or anti-sport fishing in particular. Do you run into a lot of that at school?
I don't personally. We see it. We there are colleagues of mine that would rather hug trees than than face the reality that fishing is a resource.
Yeah.
Fishes are a resource, and they're used for food, they're used for recreation, and it's part of the hunting culture, I think in human society. And I don't believe that a hook in a fish is the same as a hook in a Labrador Retriever. Let's just put that.
Yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty ridiculous indeed. And properly managed, of course.
Absolutely, managed for sustainability. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
And when we see problems, we say something. You know, the basses, the calico and the sand bass regulations that came through, you know, about 3 years ago. I had a fairly large part in that, and it cost me some friendships, I think, but I think it's now, this is the bag limit of 5 and 14 inches. Now we're seeing a fishery that is really, really going to be great in the next two or 3 years.
And I myself, too, was very, very in favor of that 5 fish and the 14 inches. And now, a lot of screaming and yelling about it, and, oh, my God, we're going to put us out of business and everything. But we've seen the results.
Well, the results are, we knew it would work. It's just a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And now you catch 5 fish, and the fillets are way more than the 10 fish you caught before.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you get to catch a lot more fish.
Yeah.
And catch and release fishery.
Yeah.
And
they're all nice fish. Bass with shoulders, we call them.
Yeah. Now, speaking of fish, have you worked with Lyle Bellquist on his work?
Lyle's a friend of mine. I've known him since he was a undergrad in Long Beach and back at the Fred Hall shows all those years ago. So he's a friend. I collaborate with him, help him any way I can. He's doing some great stuff with the Collaborative Fisheries Research
Yeah,
program.
He has. And he's done some amazing work with showing how healthy that calico bass population
is. Right. Yeah, and comparing it to the protected area at La Jolla that hasn't been fished for a long time.
Yeah.
Versus outside, and it's getting pretty good everywhere.
Yeah, that's the good thing. Now when we can show that the protected areas are just as good as the areas that we're fishing.
Well, that was the original idea, is that these protected areas would seed the other areas.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably still too early to show that directly,
sure.
But we've known for a long time. I've even had students that worked on it at Catalina, at the Wrigley Marine Science Center, that reserve that's been there for a long time. We know that if you close an area to hook and line fishing, commercial fishing, you get a lot bigger fish and a lot bigger calicos and a lot bigger sheephead. Those were the two main ones. So we know that, but we didn't really know what kind of seeding effect there would be around it, besides the spillover effect.
When calico bass are in a population like a marine reserve, the adult calicos, the mature calicos, are they staying right there or are they moving around?
They're pretty much staying there. They're staying there. You know, most of the tagging work has been done on calicos or kelp bass. And sand basses, that they don't move very far. The sand bass will migrate out to their spawning aggregation areas, but it's, you know, average fish is moving 5 kilometers, you know, so it's the larvae that get up into the currents,
that's
what spreads them around. Yeah. So these are all egg broadcast spawners. They release their eggs and sperm into the water. The larvae develop as part of the plankton, and they can go anywhere. We're finding a lot of them return to the native grounds because of current patterns and things like that. But they can go elsewhere, and that's kind of the main thrust of the whole MPA system. And I have maintained that we've never really shown that happens.
Yeah.
But the whole MPA thing was a highly politically charged process.
Very politically. Yeah. And so are you in favor of MPAs? Are you... mixed about it?
I'm mixed. I'm not a big fan because I didn't think we had done the research, the basic empirical research necessary to show that they were going to benefit us like people thought. There's been a lot of modeling. They're modeling. It should work. But, you know, you've got to have empirical data and ground truth these things. So that's the reason I was kind of lukewarm on it. I was on the scientific advisory team about that, and there were two fishermen on that, and there were two of 20 of us,
and the rest were all what?
There were some fisheries guys, you know, Hillborn and those people that had the research perspective. But it was a lot of ecologists, a lot of resource agency people. Yeah, they were trying to be fair across the board.
Yeah.
It really gets down to it in terms of politics. Sport fishermen have only a certain number of votes, right?
Yes.
So what I tried to do is maintain sanity. That's what I tried
to
do.
Okay. Well, And the process itself, like you say, was so political.
Well, it was a fait accompli. The legislature said you will do this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought we just needed to get the best situation possible for the resource.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that was for the resource and the people who use the resource.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So my take on it is we got a lot of small ones spread very far apart, and that's really the best that we could hope for as sport fishermen.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not good. It's not an ideal situation, but especially here in Southern California, I mean, we lost some areas that are very key and critical to us, but yet we regained a lot of good area, too.
Well, yeah, you regained and you found other areas that hadn't normally been fished, and, you know, maybe in the long run, it's going to be better anyway. It's going to add to the sustainability, but one of my biggest problems with it was that they were doing this. It was the answer rather than regular, time-honored management practices like increasing the size limit.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Right.
We know that stuff works, and it does. And so the combination of those things is probably going to give us a sustainable fishery in the future. And we can't overlook the gillnet ban in 1994. It was single best move we ever made in California to increase the sustainability of our nearshore resources.
No question. Look at the comeback of the white sea bass,
halibut. Sea bass, and the giants. We're now working. My lab is working on giants. AKA black sea bass.
Okay.
I don't call them black sea bass.
The proper name is giant sea
giant
bass.
Giant sea bass. Yeah. They're not black. And they're not sea bass.
What are they?
They are wreckfish. They are related to the wreckfish of the Atlantic that are a big sport fish and food fish. They're deep ocean reef fishes, you know, and they get fairly big.
So wreckfish would be the same as Florida grouper?
No, they're not groupers. Groupers are groupers, and they're very different from the giants.
They are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're not very closely related at all. They just look a lot like them, and they act a lot like them.
Interesting. So tell us about your work with black sea bass. I mean, everybody's thinking, you know, because we're catching them now and stuff, that they've really made a comeback. You stunned me this morning with the numbers. and how small the numbers are in Southern
well,
California.
Well, we have been able to work on them, and it's the first time in my lifetime that there's been enough of them to do something about. And so we're actually going out and finding out where the babies are, and we're counting them around Catalina. We're looking at their behavior and a variety of other things. But one of the things that we started doing 5 years ago is that I started buying heads from fish markets. You know, they commercial landings are still legal. One fish per trip.
One fish per trip.
One
in
giant,
a commercial net.
Yeah, one giant sea bass or black per boat.
How do they get away with that?
Well,
why does fishing game allow that?
Well,
that's
in the law that was written when the moratorium came into being in 1982. They originally had two fish per trip. Now it's one incidental take. So they can be landed. They can be marketed. And so I decided that I would just start buying the heads if they had them, because most of the time, 150 years of giant sea bass fishery, I still have to, they were landing these huge fish without their guts or their heads, you know, because these take up too much room on the boats.
Sure.
So we didn't learn anything about them. We didn't know anything about them, because fisheries scientists need guts and gonads and heads and otoliths and things like that. So I started getting these. We got up to 64 of them, and started sectioning the otoliths, and we have now determined that the largest or the oldest giant sea bass, black sea bass that we know of is 76 years
76
old.
Years yeah. old.
They were thought to maybe be over 100, you know.
Yeah.
But really, most of the really big ones, about 500 pounders we estimate from the size of the head, are between 60 and 76 years old.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
So not very many of them. But we also were able, with those skulls, to take tissues and do genetic assays of them. And one of the things that we were able to find out is that they're very low genetic diversity. They look like they went through a huge bottleneck because of the low catches. They collapsed in 1934 in California waters. 1934 as they fished them out of California waters.
Fished, so that was the, was it commercial as well as sport fishing?
That was mainly commercial.
Commercial fishing.
Yeah, the days when, you know, Zane Grey and Holdridge and these guys were out there at Catalina in the 1890s catching them with
rod and reel.
Rod and reel sort before of. That with rope, you know, with parachute cord. And then the gill netters discovered them in the teens, in the 1910s, and by 34 they had virtually fished them out.
Yeah,
and so we have very low catches in California. Most of the fish were landed between 1934 and 1982 from Mexico, going down, and then the Mexico, banned us from taking them in Mexico. So then it really fell off, and then they declared the moratorium for fishing, recreational fishing in 1982.
So you cannot recreationally catch a giant sea bass, black sea bass, in Mexican waters.
Oh, you can.
You can.
No, but American fishermen,
commercial
fishermen
can't
go down there. Commercial fishermen.
Yeah, commercial fishermen. But recreational fishermen.
They can't land them from there, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, it is a moratorium here in the United States, so in California.
In California.
What is the area that they cover? Where do we see black sea bass, giant sea bass?
Well, they're coastally oriented, rather deep most of the year, looks like. They come up. We're seeing the spawning aggregations in the summer now in about 50 to 70 feet of water. So they're fairly deep, almost, fairly cooler water fishes. And they do have aggregations and aggregation sites that we've heard of historically. Mike Domeyer, when he was with the Flager Institute, was working on them and tagging them. We don't have that data available to us at this point, but there's Anacapa, Catalina has a couple of aggregations. We now know ocean sites. We know where they are, and that's where they used to fish them.
Mm-hmm.
And they fished them most heavily in the summer when they're spawning and they're aggregated. And whenever you fish an aggregating species, one that aggregates to spawn in particular,
like sand bass,
you can really decimate the populations quickly, and that's what happens
recreationally.
Recreationally, probably over many years, I think the sand bass had that happen in 2003, 2004. They're starting to come back. We also had cold water. Yeah, we had a lot of cold water between 99 and 2010. We only had one warm year. Yeah, the conditions.
So the
for recruitment, for development of the babies,
You were it staggered me in the numbers of black sea bass, giant sea bass, from Anacapa Island to San Felipe and around the Baja Peninsula, 2,000 miles of coastline. How many fish do you think are in there?
Genetically, well, there's a test we can run based on the diversity of the nucleotide sequences. It's called effective population size. You can calculate that, and it's really low for giants. So one of the estimates was 160.
We 160 think fish?
Yeah, 160, but maybe 500 is a better estimate with the air. 500 spawning adult females, that's not very many.
No, so that's spawning adult females.
Yeah.
And what's the, are there equal number of males?
Probably. Well, there's more males, probably, because we're seeing, of course, they pair off. We do know that they form pair bonds when they spawn.
They do.
Which is very different from groupers. But if you get in an area where there's a lot of them, there's a lot of smaller males wandering around and booming at each other. They produce sound and stuff.
So. Booming.
Yeah,
explain
they boom.
That. Yeah.
Well, they have swim bladders. They're very large swim bladders, and we now know that they have muscles on their ribs, and their ribs are highly pivot. They pivot, in the sockets on the vertebra, and they can with these muscles, they simply contract them and they thump the drum. They thump their swim bladder.
It's like a drum.
It's like a drum. We've got hydrophones out there and we're trying to isolate and localize
it. Get the sound.
But the guy, maybe
a new ringtone for you.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. But my divers will be out there and they'll be observing, pairs or whatever, and they'll hear a boom in the water. And they'll turn around. There usually will be a male charging them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they get that aggressive?
Yeah, the males get pretty aggressive.
I'll be darned. Wow. Well, as you can hear, we have a lot of great information for you today. And Larry is not only a great scientist, a great guy for us to have on our side. He's a really good fisherman, too, and has done a lot of fishing. So you want to join us, toll-free 877-792-1090. One line open there right now. 877-792-1090. And local lines are full, but keep trying at 858-457-1090. 858-457-1090. Hey, one lucky caller today is going to win that AFCO Performance package worth well over $100 today. The AFCO Performance shorts, the Performance shirt, and the AFCO fish face mask to cover your face and keep you safe. When we come back, more from Dr. Larry Allen. More Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Mighty 1090.
She fishes it all at Dana Landing in Mission Bay. It's truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Landing had you covered with several boats, including the new Blackjack, perfect for 2 to 4 anglers, and the Impulse that will carry up to 6 anglers in comfort and style. Dana Landing has a huge tackle shop with everything you need to go fish bay bass, tuna, or marlin, plus expert anglers on staff to help. They even have Mexican and California fishing licenses and reel repair. The deli at Dana Landing is a local's favorite with all the food, ice, and beverages you need. When it comes to freshwater tackle, East County Bait and Tackle is the spot for a great day on the lake. The ultimate in rods and reels, the latest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has a staff second to none when it comes to sharing their passion for fishing. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Mapleview in Lakeside, and Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
For over 5 decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 18 stores throughout Southern California and 3 in San Diego County. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find the location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
When it comes to tackle storage, it's got to be Flambeau, with several new products designed just for anglers. Check out the new H2O Soft Tackle System, now available in three sizes, complete with Tuftainers, the finest plastic tackle storage containers with Z-Rust, which has proven to be the best protection against rust and corrosion. Flambeau Tackle System's new AZ Tackle System has flexible designs to match your type of fishing. And for travel, protect your rods with a tough bazooka rod carrier. Flambeau, available at Turner's Outdoorsman, Sport Chalet, and other fine tackle retailers.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up on the Mighty 1090. Fascinating show here with Dr. Larry Allen, the scientific fisherman. And here's a place that we all want to be right now, and that is Rancho Leonero on Baja's East Cape. We have John Ireland live from Rancho Leonero. Buenos dias, John.
Morning, Pete, Rick, Dr. Allen. Everything's morning. Good down here.
Yeah, I know. It really got beautiful right the day I left on Thursday.
Well, you know, it's still recovering. You know, the water really turned. One thing that Blanca did was turn the water over. It's still actually much cooler than it had been. 79 inside, 83 outside, which is, for this time of year, still a little bit warm. But compared to what it was, it's probably 5 degrees less. So, and it's helped the fish, and the fish is finally cleaning up and are actually picking up, and the water's cleaning up. The warmest water is still 85-degree water, still about 86-degree water, still about 40 miles out. And the guys that are rolling out there are picking up the big tuna. There's, I think, Felipe Valdez picked up a 200-pounder two or three days ago, about 40 miles off, just straight off the front. You know, it's hard to tell exactly when you're that far out what you have to tune up, but it's about due north off the ranch seems to be where the best are. A lot of schools around, kind of like when we went out, Pete, but it's picked up some, and much more fish. Our boat went out yesterday and picked up 7, I think, between 20 and I'd say 30 pounds. So I'm all about the same size. A lot of striped marlin mixed in, a lot of blue marlin, too, of this warmer water. Inside's been slow. Some of the boats are doing well on the rooster fish and some not. We were down, put the boats out this morning, and the Dorado were feeding right up against the beach, chasing the sardine, which is good news, right up almost on the sand in front. It was pretty cool to watch. A lot of Dorado around, not real big ones, but I mean lots of Dorado around, you know, 5 to 10 pounders. And a lot of people releasing the smaller ones, loads of Dorado, which bodes well for the next couple of months. They grow fast. So overall, it's been kind of a recovering week, but much better fishing than last week and picking up for sure.
Wow, you know, it's going to take a little bit, but I'll tell you what, in spite of relatively slow fishing, although our tournament ended up, you know, basically being a one-day tournament, I talked about it yesterday, there were some pretty darn good scores, blue marlin, nice tuna, and there were tuna to be caught, and the inshore fishing was disappointing, of course, because of that, you know, roll over the water, but that's going to come back, right?
Yeah, and it has already in a big way. Like I said, I was watching this morning. It's much, much cleaner. And so, like I say, a little cooler. But, you know, if I were coming down to the ranch, this coming week would be the week I'd want to come, you know, because these so-so reports just indicate it's time there. We're really time to kick in. We're overdue.
It's time to go down to Rancho Leonero. And I know you're busy. And the ranch, by the way, John, looks beautiful. Food is just the best it's ever been. With that new kitchen and the people you have in there, and it still has that old world Baja hospitality that you always tout. It's just a wonderful place, and I just can't wait to go back. And I know that the people that did brave the storm last weekend for our tournament.
That's worth saying. We have some real storm campers.
Yeah.
Some of the gang really, really hung in there, and I appreciate them. Thank them. and don't forget next year.
Yeah, for sure. And they had a great time. You know, I got down there on Monday because I canceled my flight on Sunday, and everybody was just having a great time. And you know, I was like, hey, where you been, man? We've been having fun without you. So,
yeah,
you know,
it was great that John, you know, Lou's son won the tournament. That was kind of appropriate as well.
Absolutely. Tom and John and those guys, and they cleaned up that day, man. They had a really, really, really great day, including a 300-pound blue that they released, and lots of tuna, and got fish your new boat, which I talked about yesterday, which is that boat is a bargain for the East Cape. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it is.
The El Jefe. What do you charge? $850 a day for that boat?
$850 so far. We might raise it next year, but this year we're charging $850 for it.
Yeah.
Compared to most of the boats around it. It's literally got it. It's got air conditioning. It's got everything on it. It's a cool boat, fast boat.
It's a comparable boats are well over $1,000, $1,200 a day.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We don't want to, yeah, it really is. You don't leave anything on the beach. It's a good boat. I like to fish. The problem is when I price it that low, I have to reserve it myself.
You have to block out days for yourself because
yeah,
it's a popular boat. Yeah,
that wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, know? Well, it's a nice boat, and the whole experience at Rancho Leonero is just wonderful. Well, if we want to come down there, we have our dates on our Let's Talk Hookup tournament for next spring. Very, very popular tournament. So if you want to go, make your reservations, book your favorite room, book your favorite boat, and now would be the time. It's June 4 through 8, 2016. How do we get a hold of you if we want to book a room this month, next month, or next year?
Hey, speed 800-646-2252. Check out our website, rancholeonero.com, as well.
All right, John. Thanks for the great hospitality and keeping that ranch old world Baja.
It sure is. And you know, actually, we have to keep the food good. You know, when the fishing goes bad, food at least.
Oh.
Everybody had a great time.
Everybody had a good time, indeed. And the margaritas were still really good, even though the wind was blowing.
Saved our bacon, I tell you, for sure.
All right, John. Nice to hear from you. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that from Rancho Leonero. It was, God, have you been there, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great spot.
Yeah,
it's gone there doing field research.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that too. Yeah, that too. I mean, if the wind blows, you stay in the cantina.
Yeah.
What's to complain about?
And, you know, it's still a beautiful place to look
at.
Great. Yeah,
it's a great place.
It is a good spot, for sure. Hey, let's go ahead and jump to those jam-packed phone lines. They want to talk to Dr. Allen here. Let's start up with Don in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Dr. Allen. Thank you for taking my call today.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Pete, first, really a comment. Had the opportunity to do some travel this week, and I always like to download the archives and listen to it. And you recently put up a Del Marsh show from probably 5-6 years ago. Really great. Thank you so much for the archives. It's a great way to keep myself entertained while I'm traveling and can't do any fishing. But the Del Marsh show was really special. Thank you very much.
The Del Marsh, yeah. That was our tribute to Del Marsh, which happened just 3 days before his death a few years ago, with a lot of great figures and great characters that were a part of Del's life. It's on our archives, like you say. And I want to thank our buddy Adam, our engineer here. He's in charge. He's our archive chief here and does a great job. Thank him for putting those up there. And those are available on our YouTube channel as well as our archives page at hookup1090.com. But if you want to hear relive some of that great moments with Dell, that's a good show to listen to. Thanks a lot for that.
Yep. Dr. Allen, I wanted to get your take on you know, all the recent dialogue and especially on any research that you're aware of on the bluefin tuna population here off of the Eastern Pacific, and what's your thought on reducing the limits both commercially and also for the sport fishermen?
Well, pelagic species aren't really my thing. I try to read up on them. The recent the closure last year in Mexican waters, I thought it was a little premature, but I think it's always a good idea to limit the commercial catch because they can do so much more damage with these huge nets they use. The other part of me, you know, is I'm a sustainability guy, so why take more than you need as a recreational fisherman? You know, I caught a 60-pound bluefin a few years ago, and that's all I needed the whole day,
yeah.
You know. So it kind of, it's certainly not going to hurt to conserve at this point, even if there's a lot more of them than we think there are. The thing about bluefin is that they are northern. This stock is a northern Pacific stock. It goes to Japan. It comes back. There is some evidence or belief that there may be a more local eastern Pacific population around Guadeloupe, and it goes up and down. I don't really know. The genetics are kind of mixed on that. But these are high seas fish, and they're being affected everywhere they go.
Especially in Japan.
In Japan, the high seas fleets, the long lines.
Sure.
It's not as bad as the days when they had those 100 mile long drift nets. You know, they banned those. But basically, our stocks go up and down based on really worldwide catch types of things,
sure.
at least
mm-hmm.
Across the Pacific catch statistics. And the albacore is the same way, yellowfin the same way, except they're from the eastern Pacific.
Yeah, now, one of the big difference between bluefin, I understand, and, say, yellowfin or albacore is their spawning maturity. They really don't spawn, I understand, until they get close to 100 pounds. Is that correct?
Yeah. The good news is they grow pretty fast up to that. But, yeah, they're... Yeah, 6-7 years versus, say, an albacore, I think 4 years.
4 years. And a yellowfin is maybe, 2-3 years?
Yellowfin are quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're quicker. They're, they do everything quicker. They're warmer water and everything.
Yeah.
You've got a big fish that's a little slower growing. You want to be careful.
Yeah,
be careful.
Indeed.
All right.
Hey, Don,
much.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning. And I might add, too, that I want to thank Gary Graham from BD Outdoors for initiating that whole Del Marsh archive on our webpage, hookup1090.com. Del was such a great figure that, and thanks to Gary, he put a really great article, part one of part two on BD Outdoors there about Del. You can search that on BD Outdoors, but the article that Gary wrote is really fantastic and well worth looking at anyway. But it's kind of fun to relive a guy with such a colorful history as our friend Del. Did you know Del?
I did not.
He's... One of a kind.
Yes.
Indeed. Let's go ahead and jump back into the phones and talk to Brett in Huntington Beach. Brett, thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pete and Doctor. It's actually Fred.
Oh, Fred. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, good morning. I had a question for the doctor, but before I want to thank you for acknowledging our castaway yesterday, our friend Jerry Long. He was a fishing friend, travel friend, so forth.
Indeed, Jerry. I will be missed, no doubt about it.
So the question was black sea bass again, interesting information. But I was at Cedros last weekend, and a couple of around 50-pound fish were caught. I was curious how old those were, and maybe a 100-pounder or maybe a white sea bass of 50 pounds. What ages do you think?
Well, start with the blacks. 50 pounders, those are probably 4 or 5 years old.
Uh-huh. Are they spawning yet?
No.
No.
No, they're not spawning until they're about 120 pounds.
Wow.
Well, we don't really know because the guts are never with the fish.
Sure.
So, but there's other ways of indirectly measuring that. We're going to try to get into it. But, white sea bass are very different. A 50 pound white sea bass is 14.
14 years
old.
Yeah,
it's a very different growth profile.
But they don't grow to be 500 pounds and 76 years old.
No, they get to be 94 pounds, and I had that one in my freezer for a while.
Oh, you did? And how old was that 94 pounds?
20.
20 pounds.
Actually, I think Lyle actually aged that one, or Mike Shane, the other two. I got everything but the otoliths on that fish, and it was in my freezer for a long time.
And is that how you age the fish, from the otoliths?
Yeah, you take the otoliths, you section them, and then you count the rings.
Kind of like a tree.
Yeah.
Same
three rings, same thing.
Yeah,
chronology. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting though. Hey, so those 50 pounders yet to be spawned.
Probably
there.
Not. They're probably. I think the earliest ones you're going to see spawning are maybe 80 pounds, depending on how fast they've been growing and the food and stuff. So, with a low population size like we have with giants since their demise in the 1930s, they may be maturing earlier. We don't know. And there are some estimates as early as 7 to 10 that they're starting to spawn. But typically it's 10 to 14 is what most people look at. They're kind of like humans.
Yeah. You talked about the genetic diversity and mm-hmm. how low that is.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect the population in the future?
Well, it's not a good sign. I mean, basically, with the lack of genetic diversity is going to hinder their ability to recover to changes in the environment. And if we're getting warmer, we don't know.
And they don't like warm.
Well, they typically don't. No, we're finding the spawning fish at Catalina last year, and it was a warm year last year, whether it was, they call it an El Nino or not, it was warm. We're 60 feet. You know, that's where they're spawning, and you didn't really find them any shallower. So they maybe move north, but I think they'll always stay kind of below the thermocline. But the genetic diversity, the lack thereof, inhibits a species, a population's ability to recover from change and drastic changes in the environment.
Yeah. Indeed. Hey, Brett, thanks a lot, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's talk to Ron in Encinitas. Good morning, Ron. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Pete. Morning, Rick. Morning, Dr. Allen.
Morning.
My question for Dr. Allen, I think you previously answered the question that I had about how you age the fish, but now I have some follow-up question on it. For instance, you said that you cut the, obviously it has something to do with the inside. You say you cut open the otoliths, is that how you pronounce it?
Otoliths, that means ear stone.
Ear stone.
Ear stones, yeah.
Ear stone, and you count the rings. What do the rings indicate? As far like, you know, like the trees, the rings indicate, you know, the changing, you know, the new seasons and all.
Summer, winter, growth and non-growth seasons, usually, yeah. Okay. When food is abundant, the otoliths get opaque because there's lots of other, you know, proteins, and largely proteins are being secreted into the matrix. And in the winter, when they're colder, the daily rings actually gets shorter and closer together.
And you can actually see that.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Yeah.
Under a microscope.
Yeah, yeah. I got pictures. You know.
Wow.
We actually take pictures of them, use a image processing, and we put dots on all of them. That we just count the dots. Yeah.
Wow.
It's
amazing.
Pretty cool. But getting into a giant sea bass skull, I think the caller meant something about it. That's not easy. These things are, it takes power tools to get into these skulls. Normally you just take a scalpel on a fish and scratch the bottom of its skull and pop it open.
Yeah.
These, I have to take power tools, Dremels and circular saws to them.
What's amazing too about the giant sea bass are the scales too.
Yeah.
Scales can be thick and large, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They're pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, very impressive, large scales.
Is there any aging that on scales or no?
Well, scales have been used for aging for a long time, but they're really erroneous. The larger and older a fish gets, because you know scales get replaced. Scales, the rings get so close together you can't distinguish them. That doesn't happen with otoliths. You can see the rings get a lot thinner as they go out, but you can still see them. It's still an incremental growth that's maintained.
Every fish have otoliths?
Yep.
Every single tuna.
Yep.
Sea, of course,
they have different sizes. You know, the fish, the more sonic, the more they utilize sound in their behavior, the bigger the otoliths typically. Marlins and tunas don't use sound very much. They're very visual. They have little tiny ones, little rice grain ones.
Yeah.
Yellowtail. I tried to find otoliths in yellowtail for, you know, 2 weeks.
They have them,
yeah, but they're very hard to find.
And you know, is that because they're so fast growing?
Yeah, but they just don't use sound. It's not a major sensory mode for them, so they tend to be fairly small.
The more pelagic the fish, the less they use it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So fish that are like rockfish.
Rockfish have
bass,
big ones.
Big ones. Sea bass, giants, those all have big ones because they're using
sound. Yeah,
what we
call white sea bass are croakers, and croakers in general have very large otoliths because they drum.
Did they use the otoliths to drum?
No, they hear.
They hear.
They hear. They use their swim bladders to drum, and the muscles around the swim bladders.
Okay. Same as what you described with the giant sea bass.
Yeah, exactly. Sound carries 6 times faster in water than it does, so it's a really great sensory mode in the ocean.
Ron, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. And when we come back, we're going to get a catch report, take more of your phone calls. We do have open line right now, 877-792-1090. You want to get through? There is your chance. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice, right here on the Mighty 1090.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Good morning, it's Whitney from Mammoth Lakes, California. Come on up, the water's fine, is what the Eastern Tier is touting. And in Mammoth Lakes, it's much more than just the water. This summer, our four lakes will be stocked with almost 16,000 pounds of healthy fighting trout. From fishing and biking to hiking and horseback riding, there's a legendary story waiting for adventurers of all ages in Mammoth Lakes. Start planning your next adventure at visitmammoth.com. That's visitmammoth.com.
This is Greg Stotespray from AFCO. For over 20 years, AFCO has been known for its traditional fishing shorts. We now will also be known for our new line of next-generation fishing and board shorts. Our new M82 tactical fishing shorts feature quick-dry, high-tech, two-way stretch fabric, zipper fly, six functional pockets plus pliers pocket, sublimated camo print, and our DWR finish so your shorts don't get stained. Also new to the AFCO line are the M25 Stingray board shorts. The Stingray board shorts feature new, quick-dry, four-way mind-stretch fabric, modern zipper fly, two technical high-cargo pockets with inverted zippers, silicone-printed draw cords, along with our DWR finish to repel stains. Both shorts are new to the AFCO line and come in a variety of colors and sizes. These technically advanced fishing and board shorts continue AFCO's long tradition of providing the world's finest fishing and board shorts. Check them out today at better shops everywhere.
It's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And boy, where do you start when you're talking Shimano? So many great items available now, from the Therese rods, the new Talus rods, and all the great rods that they're producing today. But I'll tell you what, that new Torium HG, I was checking it out at the Longfin yesterday. Such an amazing reel, and we've been using it, our Shimano casting contest at the Ford dealers. It's amazing how well that casts and how few backlashes people are getting with that Torium HG. And then, of course, step it up. You go next level to the Trinidad A. Just an amazing performance reel with super power and super corrosion resistance, and just a reel that is beyond compare when it comes to Star Drag reels. So then you add in, of course, the flat fall jigs, the number one jig now for catching most anything in Southern California, from tuna to calicos. Get it all at your local Shimano dealer or check out Shimano.com.
For local and long-range fishing, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among seasoned or novice anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. You need to check out the Islander on their website, islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 2 to 5 day fishing. Watch the website for trips and adventures available. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
XSRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Oh my gosh, this club is playing fantastic baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here, as I said, Rock God Rick, on his way to Sitka right now to Kingfisher Charters. In the meantime, we have Dr. Larry Allen, the scientific fisherman, talking some great fishing here in Southern California, and really fascinating discussions about giant sea bass and all the aging fish and populations of fish and such like that. So we're going to continue that conversation right after the Catch Report today. And the Catch Report today is sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Summer fishing means it's time to call Fisherman's Processing. You're on your private boat. Call them the day before you make the trip and make arrangements to drop your fish at their dock after hours. And they have a drop box. You get a tag, a lock combo, and you put your fish right in your slush bin. Next morning, your fish will be filleted and vacuum packed and ready to go. Check out all the details on their Facebook page, Fisherman's Processing, or complete details on their website, fishermansprocessing.com. Let's start up at Dana War Sport Fishing, Captain Brian Woolley. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. What a beautiful day on the water today.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hey, you know, we had a pretty good week up here. You know, the water's still not as clean as we'd like it, but, you know, we're seeing that good 64, 65 degree water. So I'm sure we'll see the color straighten out itself here a little bit this week, too. But starting off close to the harbor, gosh, the Calcabasas has been really, really good for us. The fly line fishing along the kelp has just been ridiculous on either the anchovy or the sardine. Even some nicer great fish on the mackerel too, getting some action there. The anchovy really though has been the key. You know, we've had some really good bait this week. The bait company's taking really good care of us. And that anchovy, you know, you get to scoop it out over the side and it's just ridiculous watching the fish come up and react to that chum. So also getting pretty good on the surface iron, the wax wing jigs and the hard jerk baits. I mean, the Calcabass bites just been good. I think the last couple of days, you know, we've released over 500 bass the last few days. So it's been really, really good bass fishing. We're seeing a few yellows in our accounts too. You know, some fish coming along the kelp line. And, you know, out on that kelp patty stuff, we're still trying to keep tabs on that. We've even had a few sea bass in the mix this week too, up in some of the kelpy areas too. I know they had a heartbreaker last night on the twilight. They lost a 40-pound sea bass just before a gap last night. I don't know what happened. I think there might have been another line involved in that, but they ended up losing that fish, so kind of a bummer. But, you know, that, like I said, that kelp had a yellowtail. We're still keeping track on that. And then the Fury's been out at San Clemente Island. He's had some really good yellowtail fishing over there, and he's been able to round out his counts with some real good Calcabass fishing as well as some good bottom fishing. And there's still some tuna sign out here. You know, we haven't really seen the bluefin close, but yesterday our whale watch boat watched a big old spotted yellowfin come up crashing around on the dolphin at only 3 miles yesterday. So,
yellowfin at 3 miles?
Yellowfin at 3 miles, so who knows, you know. That's why we're hoping this water strains itself out a little bit. We get that clarity. We get some of that bait back in it, and you know, I think we're off to a good start this week. So that's our hope. If you guys want to hop on a trip, we'd love to have you out with us. Phone number at the landing is 949-496-5794. Of course, on these local trips, guys, you can link us right through the Les Hawk Hookup webpage at the banner at Dana Wharf. You can save some money on a local trip, or you can call the landing. Check us out online at danawharf.com.
You bet. Yeah, that banner ad on the front page of hookup1090.com, you just click on it and you save a lot of money on half and three-quarter day trips.
Yeah, I think $15-$20. I mean,
yeah.
Worth taking advantage of that.
Heck
offer.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot. Great report. Sounds like time to go bass fishing. Time just to go fishing, right?
Yeah, it's been good. So you never know. We're taking it day by day, and it seems like every day is getting a little bit better than the next, so we'll take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll talk to you next Sunday. I'll bet it'll be even better on the first day of summer.
We're hoping. Have a great week, guys. Thanks.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right, surf guru Gundy Gunderson's on the line. Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, what's going on?
You are, man. Tell us about that surf fishing. It's good, huh?
Well, last week, I think the last thing I was saying was that when the sand crabs arrived, the Corbina bite takes off. Well, I guess that's why you call me the guru, Pete, because they showed up this week.
See, you just knew it, right? That's it.
Yeah, and really some terrific fishing. We got a big fish they weighed, and I'll get to that. We'll start up North Santa Barbara. Hook, line, and sinker reported nice influx of halibut on the beaches up there. Anglers are throwing hard jerkbait, bouncing crocodiles, and scoring fish. You know, a lot of short fish, but some quality fish in there, too, up to 28 inches. East Beach has been the hot spot there. The perch bite also been very good, averaging 17 to 18 inch on the fish. That's, you know, that's pushing that 2 pound range. Real nice. Small lucky craft, gulp 2 inch sandworms working well. Cabazon bite, real good in the rocks there. Fish to 4.5, taking the strip squid. And Wiley's reported sand crabs on the beach, and Saturday they weighed a 5 pound 9 ounce Corbina, taking it Will Rogers.
Oh, that's a good one there.
Just a beautiful fish, you know, and they said that all of a sudden, man, they've really shown and they're starting to bite. Halibut action there's also been picked up. 5 pound 8 ounce fish checked in there, took a green and white blam. Stripers popped up in the South Bay between the piers there, Hermosa and Manhattan. 8 pound fish taken on a gulp sandworm there, just soaking a bait, blind fish. The sand crab showed up off Newport. And the Corbina bite picked up there, too. The street jetties, river jetties, all holding good numbers of fish, and they're starting to bite. Hogan's reported a good calico bass bite off the rocks in Laguna Beach. The guys are rock hopping, and they're throwing X-Wraps. They're throwing the Lucky Craft, some of those big saltwater jerkbaits, throwing right in the foam and scoring some nice calico bass up to 5 pounds. The Corbina bite also took off along Capitol Bay beaches. Crabs are in. Most of them are small and thirsty, and so some guys are using lugworms or fresh mussels or stringing a few of those crabs on, and they've been getting fish to 3 pounds. Pacific Coast reported crabs on the beach, good Corbina action. Fish are biting on the incoming tide, averaging 2 to 3 pounds. And the spotfin have really been on the tear in the lagoons, off the beach, in Oceanside Harbor. 5 pound, 12 ounce spotfin leading their derby for the month there. Quality fish. And last week was a 5 pound, 8 ounce was a nice fish. So there's some quality spotfin. I mean, we're talking about 5 pound models of just about everything in the surf, and it doesn't get much better than that.
I'll tell you what, the surf fishing in Southern California is one of the best-kept secrets here, right?
Absolutely.
Not a lot of pressure, and really some trophy fish in there.
Absolutely. I mean, if you know, light tackle fishing for quality fish. I had lots of elbow room, you know. I mean, it's something special. It's something that we need to take care of.
No doubt about it. Well, the guru himself, he predicted it. What's next week? What's going to happen next week?
I don't know, Pete. I'll be honest with you, I think I got lucky.
All right, Gundy. We'll talk to you next Sunday. We'll see what happens.
Good week. Great show, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. And that is our catch report today. It's sponsored in part by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Chart. Terrafin charts give you the latest water conditions and help you catch more fish and save fuel. They're helpful year-round, especially now, to find the best water conditions. Check out the new and improved Terrafin Mobile for your Apple or Android device. Terrafin, take it with you everywhere. You just download those charts, and you can put it on your iPad or on your mobile device. And it's all for the same low price. Check out Terrafin.com for more details. And I'll tell you what, when we were down in the East Cape, you could tell, you could just see that bubble of cold water that came in after the Hurricane Blanca there passed through. It went from, if you look at the chart trend, it was nice and warm inside. The water rolled, and it was just like, just green inside. And you look at the shoreline, and it was just green, cold water until you got out like 30 miles, like John was saying. Mm-hmm. But that's what you use Terrafin for, find out where to go. There it is, right there. That's where I need to be. And that's the deal. So, hey, if you want to get through, here's your chance. 858-457-1090. 858-457-1090. You have a chance to win that AFCO performance package and talk to Dr. Larry Allen. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones and talk to Luke in Laguna Niguel. Good morning, Luke.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Allen and Pete. And we wish Rick well on his trip.
Oh, I'll bet he'll catch some fish. What do you think?
Probably a couple.
Yeah.
I don't feel too bad for it.
Hey, since you're talking about calico bass, I thought it'd be timely to give a fish report, and it is pretty impressive. The group I belong to, the Dana Wharf Rod and Reel Club, we focus on calico bass, and primarily at San Clemente Island, and we fish on boats that get us in very tight, and it's competitive. We're looking for the big fish. The guy who has the big fish wears a shirt with a bullseye on the back,
and
we're after it. So we fished. We just came back last night on a 2-day with Bruce Smith on the Fortune, and we had a calico bass day that none of us can ever remember being better.
Wow!
We started with our leader having a 8-pound fish to beat. So that's what we had caught earlier in the year. So we sat up in a spot, I can't tell you where. We fished bass for 5 hours straight. We started with thin bait. We ran out of how much we wanted to use. We switched over to live and dead squid. And when it was over in this five-hour bite, we had 18 fish at 7 pounds.
Wow.
One fish at 9. And now the bullseye guy, who happens to be my son, Ryan, had a fish just over 10.
Oh!
We had 500 fish. Well, actually, it was 522 fish, I think, maybe a little short of that. And we only kept enough for lunch and a couple to take home. And none of the ones we kept were over 4 pounds. We threw all the big boys back.
Good for you. That's fantastic. That's
very good. Very good.
That's really great. And so, as Larry and I have been talking about this morning, because Larry was one of the leaders of the charge on this five fish limit, 14 inch minimum, What is it going to be like in a couple of years, Larry?
It's going to be like San Clemente.
Yeah.
You know, for the last 10 years, if I want to catch big calicos, I go to San Clemente. And
sure.
This is what that report just said. And the biggest one I've ever caught was at San Clemente. It was 8 pounds.
Sure, 8 pounds. That's a nice fish.
But it's going to be like that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I think.
So how old was that
10-pound fish?
We actually had a 9.5 that was older. It was 35.
35
years
old?
Yeah, it was the oldest kelp bass on record, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So the size doesn't necessarily... Is it male, female?
Well, that was a female spawned out. We figured she could have been 12 pounds before she had spawned.
35, yeah. But they're old.
Yeah, my friend Jimmy Stanovich caught that one. Yeah.
A legal 14-inch fish is how old?
About 8 years old.
8 years old,
yeah.
Really? Okay.
7 or 8. Yeah.
So, Luke, one thing that we noticed when we were over at Clemente on the Islander kayak trip last week... on the front side, because of weather, we just stayed on the front. And I'm sure yesterday, I know it was grease calm, so you were somewhere different than that. But there was no kelp, but the calico bass fishing was the best I've seen. Fishing the area where the kelp was, right?
Because mm-hmm.
You know there's still some kelp down below there. Is that what you experienced, or were you fishing in the kelp?
No, we've been doing this for 20 years, and we really focus on getting in tight, fishing the whitewater. Mm. And what we decided or concluded is without the kelp, we can now fish places we couldn't fish before.
Yes, yeah.
And the fish haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And you get them when they want to go. We literally did not move for 5 hours, and it was as good at the end as it was at the beginning.
Wow.
Did any of those fish have orange noses?
Wow, now that's a tough question.
Is that a spawn?
That's a male spawning coloration.
It's a male
big
spawning.
Orange to gold noses. Yeah.
We had many. Well, I guess I was thinking of it as yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
They're spawning then. You probably got an aggregation.
Spawners. Yeah. So when the males get almost golden lips, right?
Well, they get their whole snout turns gold to orange.
Really?
And they get very, very black and white looking besides that.
We did have one oddity that I think is pretty odd. We were there 2 months ago with Bruce in the same area, the same spot. And our big fish was, we photographed it. And it had a tail that had been dealt with when it was younger because it was just not right. Our big fish yesterday had the same tail, so we think it was the same fish.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah,
very
well could be. Hey, that's a great report, Luke, and I know Bruce on the Fortune is just a fantastic fisherman. I've fished with him before. I love fishing with Bruce. He is hardcore and knows how to catch the big ones, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Luke. Appreciate the report this morning. That sounds like a place we need to be, Larry.
Yeah, I've had pretty good days at San Clemente,
yeah.
But not in 500.
Yeah, that's a lot of fish.
That's a lot of fish.
All right, when we come back, more of your phone calls. Lines open right now, 877-792-1090 or 858-457-1090. And a lot more reports, a lot more information. You're going to hear from Dave with the fishdope.com report. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way right here on the Mighty 1090.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
My Angler H2O. I will scent my lure with pride and hope my boss doesn't notice the tan. I will outmaneuver drought-exposed sunken boats and outlast the hard-fighting largemouth bass. I will save water at home for better fishing out here and always,
always wear my life jacket.
What's your H2O? Tell us at BoatCalifornia.com. The California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways reminds you to wear it, California.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
XERS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Padres are playing some kind of baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Information is the key to success, and inside information is even better. When it comes to fishing, inside information is critical, and that's what FishDope.com delivers. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and save fuel. FishDope.com is the only SST service with a satellite oceanographic PhD on board, the only fish-finding service with a spotter plane. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com boasts the largest code group anywhere, covering sport boats, commercial boats, and private boaters. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. What I'm telling you is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, good luck. Membership costs less than 40 gallons of gas for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, stay tuned for the special code to save $20 on a FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades, with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. Now is the time to book your long-range trips and charters, plus half-day trips aboard the Dolphin. Go to fishermanslanding.com and see trip availability, and even book your trip online. Stop by or call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego and book now at fishermanslanding.com.
Summer has finally arrived, bringing warmer waters our way. And you know what that means? The offshore fishing this season could be one of the best ever. And speaking of best ever, have you seen the new 2015 Ford F-150? It's the most advanced F-150 ever, which is even more good news for fishermen. One of my favorite features is the available 360-degree camera. It lets you see everything around you, which really comes in handy when you're trying to launch on a crowded dock. It's also the first truck ever to be built with military-grade aluminum alloy. That means the new F-150 is up to 700 pounds lighter to accelerate faster and stop quicker. It also hauls more and tows more. And get this, it does it all more fuel efficiently. I highly recommend taking one out for a test drive. The new F-150 is the best thing to happen to fishermen in San Diego since the barbed hook. So stop by your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.